featuring Dr. Michael Ventris and meteorologist Sean Pratt and your host, Colin Dulzinski.
Welcome back, everyone. We're Fantasy Football Weather Guys, Week 5. I am Colin Dulzinski. I'm your host. I want to introduce the fourth Fantasy Football Weather Guy to his first live real show of the season, Dr. Nicholas Schiraldi. I almost called you Dr. Mike Ventris just from normal habit. But welcome, and meteorologist Sean Brett. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. Nick, how are you feeling, man?
Doing good. We got some interesting weather this week, so it'll be a good discussion.
We had to pull in the heavy hitters when the weather hits, you know? You know, that Dr. That's Mike Ventris got to take a week off when, you know, a hurricane's hit. So, you know, I think before we get there, I have to say it, Sean. I apologize, kind of. I went 4-0. I'm 4-0 start. I know you're diversifying your fantasy portfolio and not really caring about the current league of records.
Yeah, only so much energy to go around, Colin.
Yeah, and our newest member of the team, Nick, is ahead of you. We just made sure.
And I've made zero roster moves. Actually, I just logged in today for the first time.
I appreciate how candid Nick is about his involvement in fantasy football.
I know. I hope more of the league isn't watching, because I'll probably get a lot of we have a very vocal league. If I do one thing wrong as the commissioner, everyone will tell me about it. If I do one thing right, someone will tell me 3 years later. So, you know, it's just kind of like
that's the story of your life, Colin.
It is. So, you know, story of the week, though, is Delta. And, you know, this is going to be an interesting week for weather, possible impacts, and our discussion is really going to be very focused today on Delta, and on the screen is what we're going to talk about, and, you know, I don't know, you know, I'm not a hurricane expert, so I'm just going to give it over to Nick and Sean and talk about what we're seeing.
Well, I mean, the Gulf of Mexico has been just churning up these storms in late summer, early fall. And we got another one that looks to be heading toward the Louisiana-Texas coast. This is Hurricane Delta, going to be a major hurricane. Right now we have winds at 115 miles an hour, going to make landfall, again, as a major, maybe Category 3, possibly Cat 4 hurricane. And that's going to be the story of the week for us, as that the remnants of that storm are going to play a potential impact for several of our games in the Tennessee River Valley and in the Mid-Atlantic states. This is something that we are going to be monitoring. This may be a first week. We're actually going to be live Sunday to give you live updates, depending on how this turns out. Now, we're watching it very carefully, because with this particular system, we need to be very cognizant of the rain banding. So there is these rain bands associated with these storms, and how the weather turns out for Sunday is going to be dependent on the location and the timing of these bands. So what Colin's going to bring up for us now is a precipitation and mean sea level pressure map. Again, for any of our new view. Yep, go ahead.
Oh, no. Yeah, Sean was explaining. I was just going to say, like, I was bringing this up to fast forward to get to the impacts where the bands that he was talking about. I got to get to 18.
Yeah, and I mean, this is, you can see this storm. Like, Colin, if you could actually back up real quick and just show when it's about to make landfall. There's one thing I want to point out with this is, we've talked about this in the show before, but if you look at the black lines, those are what we call isobars. And the closer those are together, that's indicative of wind. So the closer they are together, the faster the winds. We call that a very tight pressure gradient. So if you look here, we have incredibly tight pressure gradient, as we would expect with a hurricane. And it's going to, hit real hard on the south coast here. But you're going to notice it weakens considerably. And that's because the hurricane needs warm water to survive.
It looks like a tree. It looks like a tree being a Benjamin Button aging the wrong way. The rings are
decreasing. Right. It kind of does look like a tree. I mean, yeah, if you cut down a tree, you look at the tree rings, right?
Yeah.
So what we're going to be looking at is as this pushes to the north-northeast, the first stadium that it's going to encounter that could potentially be in store for an impact is the Tennessee game. I don't know if we want to take a look at that game first, Colin, before we move on. If you want to go to the blog, or if we just want to do a quick synopsis of everything first.
Well, so you know, I've kind of been jumbling I kind of set up the screen so we could get to. I want to take everyone back to our webpage. So, you know, on our webpage, on the blog that Sean has been diligently keeping up as of 5 minutes ago, making this great blog for us.
Latest information.
Which is actually right underneath the map that I was at. So we have all of the games and the impacts, and we're kind of going to go southwest to southeast, and then we're going to hit the west coast because we do see something happening in Seattle, but we'll get there. And then there could possibly be a wind event in San Francisco. So we got a lot of games. There's 5 games, I think, on the east coast, 2 on the west coast. Not going to call it a lightning round, but I did want to use that pun. So Sean and Nick Nick, what are we seeing for the, you know, high level on the Bills Titans game?
Yeah, I guess before we talk football, this is a major hurricane. So, of course, if you live in the area that's going to be affected in the Louisiana coast, please, focus on the national hurricane updates and keep track of everything that's going on through your local news and stay safe out there. This system's going to potentially really wreak havoc on the Tennessee game. And these systems are really hard to forecast exactly where the rain's going to set up, because the weather models just don't do a good job at resolving these really strong thunderstorms. So the National Hurricane Center has the center of the storm tracking over southwest Tennessee around 1 o'clock on Sunday, but we're actually expecting the heaviest precipitation to be north and east of the center, which means Tennessee could end up being okay. There may not actually be a lot of rain during the game if the precipitation has already lifted up north and east of the game. But if it doesn't, and we see, you know, quarter of an inch of rain, quarterbacks could have a pretty significant impact of play. In our PPR model, we show a reduction of 2.75 points, which is a percent difference to the mean of like 16%. So it's definitely not insignificant. And it's something we're going to have to track very closely.
A good point that, you know, right now all of our products are and available are showing green as, you know, as a low impact, no impact. But if everyone watched today earlier, I mean, this changed live as we were setting up for the meeting from a caution to a green, and it could go back. And I think just, you know, follow us on Twitter, follow us, on our webpage, because the table does update live. So again, this game, you know, impactful. I mean, I hate to see this, you know, Josh Allen's been doing great for me, and, you know, I'm going to play him, but, you know, couple percent difference could be, you know, pretty detrimental to keeping my team 5-0.
Yeah. And as Nick said, what's so difficult about these storms is we can't have an isolated rain event here that can drop a ton of rain. It's just, we can't predict that 2 or 3 days even out. We're not going to know locally where that's going to set up. But if it does drop a lot of rain, we did run some stats on some players that we think could be meaningful if, you know, weather does occur. And that's mainly around the QBs. So we have Tannehill with the Tennessee Titans. And when running some stats for him, we saw a 17% reduction in yards per game at only 202 yards on average when he's played in games with precipitation. We also saw a yards per attempt drop from 7.3 to 6. So when he did have completions, either one, this can mean he had more incomplete passes or they were just shorter passes. And it might have been a combination of both. And there's sometimes when we look at weather data and there's one player that really stands out. And surprisingly, as Colin mentioned,
no, don't do
that. That was Josh Allen.
You're going to do it.
His QBR in around five or six games played in precipitation. So our sample size isn't the greatest here, but still a significant drop. His QBR dropped by about 40%. He's at 47.8 on average for his QBR with a 45% reduction in yards per game. So we're talking around 95 yards passing per game. So you may say, well, maybe he's making it up in the rushing. Not really. His stats were pretty consistent with rushing between like a control game, like when he plays at a dome or in fair weather. But what did drop is his rate of touchdowns rushing. He only had one TD in three games rushing and only one TD passing. So we're talking two TDs in three games.
Have blessed me because...
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing though, right?
No, but Sean, listen. Yeah. The game is postponed till Tuesday.
Wait a minute. Did we get news on that?
The Bills-Titans game moved to Tuesday due to COVID.
Oh, man. Yeah, and that was actually something we should have mentioned earlier here, that this was something that we were monitoring and that this could possibly be postponed. So now it's a Tuesday game?
Yep.
All right, well.
A viewer, there you go. MJ Ventress, I think our fourth fantasy football weather guy threw us a gift while watching us as he, you know, just was watching his tweets of Adam Schefter as he's getting ready for softball. So okay. We'll move on. We're going to move on to the next game.
So we can move on to FedEx Field here. Hopefully there's no COVID-related issues for the Washington football team. Rams are coming to town to face Washington. Again, as Nick mentioned, those rain bands are pushing a little bit further north and east. So originally it was like, oh, man, the Titans game is going to be the one that's going to be really impacted. Now we're looking at more in the mid-Atlantic states for the Ravens game, the Washington game, and potentially the Steelers game. So we have, and this is actually, Colin, actually show this. This is at 12Z, so this is in the morning. If you go ahead one more time step.
I'm still trying to get the Z's. Now that we got Nick here, full-time programmer, can you code these to be normal people time?
It's on the to-do list. So when we roll out our new weather impact table, everything will be synced in Eastern time.
Normal time. Human time.
Human time, not weather weaning time.
Yeah. So this is, we're looking at 1 p.m. on Sunday. We're still looking again. Don't really care about the Titans game, but this is what we were talking about. There's still some remnants or some rain bands maybe pushing through Tennessee. But then you notice to the north and east, we have some pretty strong storms that could reach Washington and Baltimore and maybe even Pittsburgh by game time. I just want to throw in a little fun fact.
I am not in Albany tonight. I am actually in Pittsburgh. Visiting my father, so I am, you know, could possibly get some photos of the rain if it is out here to tweet. I'm not going to be at the game, of course, because no one can go to the game, but I am in Pittsburgh this weekend.
Yeah, that's one thing we used to do last year. We would have people take pictures when they're at the stadium and then send them over if there was a weather event, but unfortunately, we'll have to do with Colin taking pictures of his backyard.
Right.
Yeah. Hopefully it's not sunny.
But if you have anyone in Jacksonville or Kansas City that make it to games, I know they're letting fans in. Tweet us a picture. So, okay, yeah, let's go back to this game. Let's go back to the Rams. You know, So
Goff, man, Jared Goff, a 16% reduction in yards per game for him. But the big thing was he only averaged about a half a touchdown passing per game when he was in range. He only had two TDs in three games. So he seems to be impacted in these precipitation events. Maybe they're having some trouble getting the ball into the red zone, getting those red zone opportunities to score touchdowns. But, you know, we had some reductions in yards per game, but the bigger issue is, hey, is he going to get the ball in the end zone? And this has kind of been a something that goes on with Goff regardless. I mean, he sometimes either falls off the map with the TDs or he gets three or four. So the precipitation game seems to be having more trouble.
The field is natural grass. We remember the pictures last year, what rain can do to the Redskins field. Washington football team. I apologize. I will get that in my lexicon. Learning the ways. So we're going to move on to our next game, right, as we move up. You know, we're kind of creeping our way.
Same story, right? This is the same system. Yeah. Very close. The stadiums are very close to one another, about 40 minutes away or so. And they're like literally right on top of each other. You can't even differentiate between them on this map unless you really zoom in. But you may say, well, it doesn't look like the rain's going to reach there. But again, the models are trending about pushing these rain bands further north. So we're a little concerned by game time that they could be impacted, at least by the end of the game. So the big story here, another go up real quick, Colin, a few things I want to mention about this game is, again, another player. He's young. There's not a lot of stats for him. Lamar Jackson. Ravens.
Yeah, got it.
Lamar Jackson, only at 57.2 QBR, only 65 yards per game passing and one TD in five games. So,
and that's with what weather stats was that?
Precipitation. So when there's been precipitation, that's been another really intriguing one. And Lamar Jackson's been struggling this year. Before last week, I think he had as many fantasy points as Joe Burrow. So, a little concerned about him.
So any precipitation with the quarterback, or was there a certain threshold level that you ran this on?
I think around 0.1 inches.
So really anything, yeah. So
about a tenth of an inch.
If it moves north, so if it moves north, there could be some pretty impactful. So that's what I'm saying. That's what we're saying. Watch us on social media. Maybe Sunday shows in line. We actually need to really pay attention to Delta.
Yeah. And Ingram's the other one. You may see an increase in his attempts. He seems to get a few more attempts in games where there's rain. So keep an eye on that too. And then we get to go where you are at, Colin.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I will not be at Heinz Field.
No.
I'm actually like over this hill somewhere over here, actually. But yeah.
By the way, I've been to Pittsburgh recently, last couple of years, and it's a beautiful city, really growing city, has a cool downtown area. I got to see Heinz Field.
There's a brewery.
The Duquesne Incline.
There's actually
the Duquesne Incline.
Two inclines, right? There's the Duquesne, and I don't know the other name, but there are two of them.
Yeah.
There's a brewery, Sean, right next to the stadium. Southern Tier from New York put a brewery out there.
I was there. Cool. Really? Wow. Southern Tier, beautiful brewery.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Some great beer.
Yeah.
They got a good pumpkin beer.
Pumpkin, right? Pumpkin. I got a friend who bought me a bottle of their whiskey. They're doing whiskeys. And I have yet to pick it up from them, but it was their pumpkin whiskey for the fall.
H in the whiskey barrel? Yeah, it's good.
You have to save me some of that.
In Pittsburgh, we get a pretty big skew for precipitation events, which for our database here, it's entirely the reign of Roethlisberger. So it's a drop of about 3 points in the PPR league, really for Big Ben and quarterbacks he's played against, which is almost a 20% shift of the mean, you know, from our reference data set. So that's a very big skew for Pittsburgh. It's definitely a storyline to watch out for.
Yeah. And there's a lot of data points for Roethlisberger because he's just been in the league forever, so a little bit more reliable for him.
Do we know what the N variable is? I don't know if you said. I'm sorry. How many games?
The
N. How many games we've seen him play in weather impacts for rain?
So I've got 19.
Okay, so yeah, that's a lot more. Okay.
And I have 19 games. That's right.
Yep.
So.
Good amount. Yeah,
I mean, 25% reduction in TDs. I mean, you could look at, you know, I'm not going to say it, but, you know, you could look at some pretty big points, like 2-3 points sometimes, depending on if that happens. So.
Yeah. And also, it's kind of cool. Sorry, Colin, just real quick. We try to point these out, and this is kind of why I do these images. Look at you guys. I mean, we don't have wind occurring with this game, but you can see how that wind can just funnel right into the stadium. There's an opening there, so it's a little bit easier to get in and maybe play an impact, but we won't have any wind impacts for this game, but just kind of keep that in mind that the structure of the stadium.
And if we did see the wind of the northeast that Sean was saying, so if we get up to Sunday 18Z, just another product that we have, but again, you know, it's showing, you know, moderate to low wind. So again, just watch these maps as, you know, storms may be moving.
So a little bit about the science here. You might be saying, well, we're talking about tropical storm remnants. Why aren't winds an issue? And a lot of that has to do with just the friction of all the trees, really eroding all of those wind speeds before the storm gets too far inland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why we saw, this is what we call is going through an extratropical transition. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, because I think we had Beta we were talking about. And when that storm doesn't have a warm water source, it's fueled through latent heat. And when it doesn't have evaporation occurring, it loses its energy. And so it goes to an extratropical transition considerably. And as Nick mentioned, those winds also erode due to friction. But there's precipitation can still be a factor. Our next game, not related to Delta, is at CenturyLink in Seattle. Do we want to take a look at the weather maps for those first?
Yeah, sure. So do you want me to do a precip or wind on the West Coast?
Let's do precip first, and then we can maybe touch upon the winds. So Seattle, remember, is the late game, and they're hosting and bringing in the Vikings. So
okay, so that'll be like, what is that?
Go to 0Z on Monday. Perfect, right? Go back or go forward. There we go. Perfect. So you can't see it on this map, but we have a small area of low pressure that's right off the coast, the northwest coast, that's going to bring a couple rounds of precipitation for Sunday into Monday. And what we're looking at is the 8 p.m. Eastern time game can have another round of precipitation that comes through. And the models have been varying with this. They've gone from 0.1 to even up to almost 0.3 inches over the last couple of days. It's really just determined on the timing. So we are definitely looking at rain associated with this. And in that area, we have an area of low pressure and then an area of a subtropical high. So a high pressure to the south of that, which is creating a really strong pressure gradient. So winds may also become a factor as well, potentially later on in the game. So,
Do you want to discuss the wind, Matt? Yep.
I mean, yeah, we're not expecting these to be super significant, but you can see, look at how those reds and those oranges try to start to make their way to the coast by game time. So if we can, let's go forward a couple time steps here. Perfect. 0Z Sunday, keep coming. Look at those winds over the northern plains. Wow.
And this is the low pressure system I think you're talking about.
Yeah, it's right off the coast there. And so, you know, there are periods it's bringing in some stronger winds. It's something to monitor. We don't expect wind to be the main factor, but something to definitely keep an eye on. In San Francisco, it could bring some winds. But
you want to go to San Francisco? You want to go back?
No, it's okay. Nick and I were just talking about this. We don't expect winds to be. We're looking at the 10 to 15 mile an hour range, and that's usually not enough to really have a significant impact. They're just not going to be high enough.
And that's the San Francisco game. The impacts, though, we do want to talk about that we didn't get to yet on Seahawks game is the precip with the possible wind, and it's really the quarterback production that you brought up is Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
And again, I'm just going to ask.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Russell Wilson does real, like, there's no real deviation in his stats when he plays in the rain.
He almost is better than the mean.
Yeah.
It's
incredible.
His home stadium. It's always raining in Seattle. I mean, that to me, it's like, did Tom Brady have a trouble playing in the cold? I mean, you know, I think it's just kind of where he's used to. You know, he doesn't know anything different.
Yeah. And he has the advantage over the defense and probably has him off balance and he's able to make a few more plays. But, Kirk Cousins is another story. We see a 30% reduction in the number of total yards for Kirk Cousins. And we also see a drop in his TD to interception ratio. It's pretty significant. His TD interception ratio in a normal controlled environment, fair weather, is around 2.15. But it drops to 0.5. So basically one touchdown, two interceptions. During games in which there's precipitation, we also see a yards per attempt drop from 7.7 to 5.5. So shorter passes, maybe not quite as many completions. His QBR also dips to 64.8. So with only 187 yards on average passing. So Kirk Cousins is not somebody. I mean, I know a lot of people are really happy about Kirk Cousins going into this game because they're playing Seattle, who's given up a crap ton of yards in the air or on the air. So, a lot of people may be looking to stream him. I may be hedging away from that if rain does look like it's going to be an issue.
This is one of those. This is one of those DFS low buys that may play well for you. I don't know what they're going to value him with the Seattle defense. So keep an eye on the DFS value of him, because if it is rainy and windy, you know, it may not even be worth the risk. If his value's in the mid range, go with someone else. But, you know, this is, again, just to watch on Sunday. Man, I feel worn out already, but I mean, we can keep chatting. You guys have done an amazing job this week, and, you know, Fantasy Football Weather Guys actually got to talk the weather part today, this week. It's been awesome. Do you want to circle back on anything as we, you know, I was worried, I'll be honest, I'm kind of a nervous Nancy with the group of time and keeping the show going, but we've kind of gone through that. So, you know, we can circle back on anything that if you feel like you got rushed through by me, and I apologize for that.
Nick had some cool stats just in general that I think were really interesting based on our analytics. So Nick, do you want to share any of those out? Do you think are relevant?
Yeah, I mean, so far, and a lot of you have probably been reading this all over, this has been the year of the offense. It's been like the most scoring offensive through the games through the first four games of the season. A lot of speculation as to whether or not this is due to defenses not having any pregame warm-ups, getting to know each other and things. So it's been a really interesting offensive-heavy season, and it'll be really interesting to see if that starts to balance out over the next few weeks and what the ramifications that will have on fantasy actually will be.
Yeah, we see, like as you mentioned, we've seen more games where teams are averaging 30-plus points per game than we've ever seen before post-NFL merger. So it's been an interesting year in many different different aspects.
Do you think, though, that it could be that the style of play, you know, the ground and pound running game almost doesn't exist a lot anymore? It's a lot of, you know, dump off passes, slot. Wow. What?
Yeah. I mean, but when you're talking about a 16% increase, or no, I'm sorry, 16 point increase in points on average, is that correct, Nick? It was 16 points?
Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous. And also, I mean, penalties are way down. The refs just aren't throwing the flag as much, you know.
Yeah, because there's no fans to buy the refs off before the game starts. I mean, that makes sense to me. That's a joke, everyone.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I do think defenses will kind of catch up and it will normalize. But there's been a lot of points scored in the early part of the season. Were there any, like, Nick, I know you were looking into some stats just in general for rain or wind games, just in general for QBs, or maybe it was running backs. Is there anything interesting to share out that may be relevant for these games?
Yeah, so we can do a quick recap on the stats, although I just broke all my code naturally.
Well, I think if my memory serves me, and you guys can correct me if this sounds right, but I think you said with wind over 50. See, never mind. My memory's going to screw me up. I was going to say there's a two point reduction with precipitation.
So yeah, right? For precip, so rain greater than 0.2 inches over the duration of a game, we see a 16% shift of the mean in terms of a reduction for QB PPR performance. So it's about 2.75 points. Which is actually significant. And there's a, you know, the probability of seeing greater than 25 points is significantly less than if there was no rain. So the distribution, it really shifts and tightens for lower performance. In terms of winds greater than 15 miles per hour, the quarterback performance is a little less impacted. It's really the stronger 20-25 mile an hour winds where we start to see the reductions, but nonetheless it's about a 10% drop in performance, which equates to around 1.75 points in a PPR league. But the probabilities of getting a very good performance really aren't that much different during the 15 mile an hour wind games over a no wind game.
So can you stack those? Can you stack those stats? So can you? Are they additive? So let's say you have wind and rain in one of these games. You're losing about 2.5 points or 2.75 for the rain. You may lose another 1.5. So with the wind, if you have a windy, rainy game, are you looking at like a 5-point reduction in a full point PPR league?
I would say no, because a lot of the relationships are nonlinear. So it's not as simple as summing them together.
Good to know. Good to know.
It's a little bit more intricate than that, and we really run into sample size issues. Nonetheless, a windy, rainy game should have a larger impact on a quarterback than just a windy game or just a rainy game. But it's not necessarily a linear sum of the two.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say there's when you do have any stats that we've run, and to Nick's point, this has been a sample size issue. There hasn't just been in the last 10 years a ton of games that have met this criteria. But the games we have looked at where there is wind and rain, in general, we do see lower fantasy point values.
Over there, I just wanted to make sure I, simple-minded non-weather master PhD, I would have just been like, oh, I'm going to add them together, you know. So great, you know, that's good to know. So
I ran the numbers, and it's about a 3-point drop versus 2.75. So it's a 5% difference between the two. So there is more of an impact on a windy, rainy game, but it's not 5 points. It's only like 3.25 points.
Well, again, thank you for all the effort, all the background coding, all the stats, Nick. Don't be a stranger on the show. You know, I know Sean will put a plug in, but I'm going to put a plug in. Sunday, follow us on Twitter. Maybe a live show coming at you. Nick may be pinch hitting for me as the host, as I may be indisposed on a little vacation here, not really doing anything, but enjoying my time away. But, you know, Sean and Nick, any last things before we call it a night?
No, I mean, other than, you know, we're excited. I mean, I know that, hey, this is a major hurricane, so we also have to be cautious here that, you know, there are people in, you know, the Texas, Louisiana area that could be severely impacted. But as far as weather impacting games, we're excited for this upcoming week. And as Colin mentioned, you know, we hope to be live here on Sunday, possibly with Nick and Mike, because again, Colin may not be here, to give you kind of live updates and fantasy impact. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, and this is a super tricky forecast. So getting that Sunday update is going to be really important, because the forecast is going to change every 4 hours for the next 3 days, and we won't know till it's on top of us. So it's going to be a fun time to watch.
Well, absolutely. Sean, Nick, it's been a pleasure.
Been as a always, Colin.
almost done with the week. You know, Sean, sometimes the sarcasm, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but...
Who says I was sarcastic? I wasn't being sarcastic.
Okay. You never know.
I always enjoy our time, Colin.
I do too. Nick, again, thanks for joining us and all the behind-the-scenes work. See you guys next week or Sunday.
All right. See ya.